My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike Dottillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, she covers the Ole Miss Rebels as a reporter there, also director of their recruiting at the Rebel Walk, Leanne Herring. And if you are director of recruiting at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin there, that's a 52-week, 365 job, Leanne. That's all I can tell you. Nobody hits that portal in recruiting like Lane Kiffin does.
No doubt. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for having me on tonight. I mean, like I said, yeah, when I transitioned from being a traditional beat reporter, you know, in the stands covering games and pressers and all that, it was nothing compared to covering recruiting over at the Rebel Walk. And like I said, and you hit the nail right on the head, Mike, you know, Lane Kiffin's job is never done, but there is a reason they call him the Portal King for nothing. And we've definitely seen what that transfer portal has done to elevate the Ole Miss depth. That's going to play a key role in a big matchup down in Death Valley in week 7.
Deanne, maybe a little bit about health for Ole Miss with Trey Harris. I saw Trey in high school. He was a quarterback, and he was on the LSU B list, so to speak, because they knew that he would play receiver and didn't have enough scholarships. So he goes to Louisiana Tech, has a nice career there. But he wanted to go somewhere. He had told me, I want to go somewhere where they throw the ball and I'm much more involved in the passing game. Goes to Ole Miss and has really had a fantastic career there. But he left this Saturday's game against South Carolina with an injury. And also the Prince along the defensive line. Kind of give us maybe update, or if you have any, on the injury to Trey Harris and also for Prince.
You know, the thing about another thing going back to recruiting, what Lane has done along with his staff, they've been exceptional in creating the depth. And, you know, while Lane said it, you know, briefly in the presser yesterday that if we were to play LSU today, that Trey wouldn't be in there. Same thing along with Princely, kind of what's going on. So, you know, of course, I think that those will be game time situations. I was talking about an early segment that I did. The thing about Lane Kiffin is he wants to make sure that his players are going to heal, especially key players like Princely and Trey. We saw how dynamic they can be on both sides of the ball. We've seen how much Trey Harris in that Kentucky game was our go-to guy for Jackson Dart. So, of course, you want them healthy. You would like for them to play in LSU, but again, the thing about it is, and I think that's a big problem that Ole Miss has, and it's not a bad problem to have, is they have players like Centarian Perkins, a young guy who really stepped up, you know, with Princely being out, and also a lot of other key guys that we saw that made an impact during South Carolina. If we saw that we had better ball distribution, and I expect that we're going to have the same formula, but a little bit more amped up against LSU. So while Trey Harris and, you know, Princely is still questionable, I'm sure it'll be a game time decision. Of course, we know that on Wednesdays, the new infamous injury list comes out. And of course, the whole roster practically, if you're Lane Kiffin and you're pulling a Bill Belichick with Tom Brady, and everybody's questionable for that game. So I think that'll remain simple. But again, I think the Rebels aren't going to have any problems whether or not they have those two assets on their team, because they have a lot of depth on both sides, a lot of young guys, a lot of transfer guys that have really stepped up. And I assume that Lane Kiffin will continue that strategy of facing a very difficult LSU team and Coach Kelly out in Death Valley in a crazy game.
Now, Leanne, you know, your fan base, you never want your team to be on a roller coaster. You want to always to be ascending and ultimately get in the postseason in the playoffs. So what was the fan base like? Because it seems like, I don't know, the team bounced back. Was everyone in shock after the Kentucky game? And then you go at South Carolina and really put a whooping on them. And then now you're going at LSU. So it's kind of been like peaks and valleys, all right, when you look at it, basically over the past two and a half weeks.
Of course, and I think for Kentucky, I think a lot of people underestimated Kentucky. I think people still viewed Kentucky as a Kentucky team of 5 to 7 years ago. Still kind of not a football school, but, you know, Mark Stoops and what he's done there, especially on the defensive front, was really able to give Ole Miss a run. We saw it at home in Oxford, which is a difficult thing to do considering. And I also believe that Kentucky had an up on Ole Miss because play, even though they lost to South Carolina, even though they kept it close and lost to Georgia, I believe that them being back on SEC time 2 weeks earlier versus Ole Miss, you know, nothing against, like I'll say, Georgia Southern and all those teams, but that's a different type of schematic that you have to do your playbook to. And I believe that Ole Miss was still kind of on that time and not so much on SEC time. But if you'll notice, when we played South Carolina, we reverted back into SEC time. And I believe that that ball distribution and a lot of things, our secondary really stepped up. We won those games in the trenches. We didn't do so. We did a lot better on the penalties. Penalties have been something that has been plaguing us. So I think there was a lot of things to improve in. But once again, I think my biggest thing that we'll see in this game is that Lane Kiffin and Jackson Dart are going to have to continue to convert those third downs. Our defense is going to have to continue to win in the trenches, because LSU will not be an easy thing to face, especially on offense. I mean, I think it's going to come head-to-head. I think one of the not-so-fond points, while we bounced back in South Carolina, you know, one of the things that's concerning and that we faced against the South Carolina defense and the Kentucky defense, of course, they were stout, but we haven't quite faced an LSU defense. And I think, you know, scoring only 3 points in the second half is something that's not going to be able to be done in Death Valley, and certainly not against LSU if the Rebels want to come out in the throat. And we know how the series go. I mean, the Tigers since 2010, 10-4, they lead the series. And since 2000, they've gone 65-6 at night games. I mean, you of all people know, and we all know that when you set foot in Baton Rouge at night, there's so many outside intangibles that are going to affect this game. And Ole Miss is going to even have to step it up more than they did at South Carolina.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Well, Leanne, the way I look at it, I'm looking at even a shootout. I don't know if it would be that type of game. It could very well could be, I don't know, 50-something, 40-something.
We saw that last year.
Yeah, that's what we saw last year. So, you know, the reason I just look at Kentucky, you know, some fans say, well, oh, look, Kentucky beat Ole Miss. I said, but LSU don't have Kentucky's defense.
Nope.
Now, we have the offense. I just look at what Kentucky did against Georgia. What was that, 13-12 or something? And then you look what happened against Ole Miss. So that's the thing to me. I think LSU could score against anybody. And I, you know, you never want to be the man to replace the man. But look at Nussmeier replacing Jane Daniels. He's been outstanding. So I think the offense is fine. I just still don't know about the defense in that secondary. And I know, you know, even though you want to exploit LSU on the back end in the passing game, that I think Lane Kiffin, first off, he wants to run the ball. And I think if LSU can't stop the run, then I know they're going to get burned on the pass. That's my observation from an outsider looking when I think you're trying to attack LSU defense with their strengths and weaknesses right now, which is a lot of weaknesses.
You know, no doubt. And like I said, I think for LSU to be able to get Ole Miss, you know, off its game, it's going to have to put pressure on Dart. We saw that Kentucky did a really good job. As much as in that Kentucky game, if you'll notice that, you know, Trey Harris was our go-to guy. And even though we have so much depth at tight end, running back in our wideout position, Trey Harris was our guy because the Kentucky defense did such a good job on that man-to-man coverage that Dart had no other choice but to go to Trey Harris. And I think that if LSU does that, you know, they're going to make it difficult on Jackson Dart. And especially if they can get him in those third and long situations, we see that that's a weakness for Jackson Dart, whether he's on the ground or in the third the third downs, especially third and longs for the Ole Miss offense, are difficult when their opposing defense puts that kind of pressure on them and gets them in those situations.
Yeah, and one of the things in watching Jackson Dart this year, I think he's left some yardage out on the field. He's got some guys open underneath, but he's looking to try to hit that big chunk play downfield. Has that been something you've noticed? And in the three games that I've watched tape-wise, you can see that there's guys open underneath, but he tries to hit that big play over the top. Now, some of that is an extension of lane, because I think Kiffin wants that. He wants to hit that big play. But on a third and eight, and you got an open receiver at 10 yards, he's trying to throw it 25 downfield. Against LSU, I think he's got to be maybe a little bit more conservative, because that secondary is leaky for LSU. And you can hit that underneath stuff, but he's got to kind of control not to want to always try to hit that big chunk play downfield.
No, I couldn't agree with you right there more, Mike. I feel like we have to do a lot better job of running the ball. Actually, I would have preferred that we ran the ball, and not saying that we can't go for that late, that Lane shouldn't go for those signature things. But like you said, when you're playing against LSU with that kind of secondary, you have to play. You have to take calculated risks. But I do agree with you noticing Jackson Dart, you know, trying to, and I think that's the comfort spot, because you can't help but think the lane kicking offense and relate it to those strong out there passes. And it's a comfort zone for Jackson Dart, no doubt. But again, I really do think that what we did in South Carolina, that ball distribution, keeping it on the ground, because I think for Ole Miss doing that, they have a better control of the ball. They're also able to take more time off the clock. And I feel like when you run the ball the way that Ole Miss runs and uses different weapons, whether it's the running back, whether it's the tight end, versus just always going to one signature guy that's open in the backfield, which can be risky in a game like this. That's why I think it's going to be a really low-scoring game, that you could run into trouble. And again, LSU is not going to come lightly. You and I both know that. So regardless of the weaknesses in both these teams, these defenses are going to be a key factor. I think it's going to be which defense can minimize penalties, which defense can get each opposing quarterback off their game and get them a little bit out their comfort zone enough to keep them off. Because at the end of the day, whichever offense too can get hold of this ball, the ball more and control this game with nearly no penalties, that I believe is going to be, the one coming out. And again, this is a big matchup. This is one of the most underrated rivalry games in week 7. And I do believe that this is also a playoff implication match. I do believe that whoever loses here, it would be very difficult for a 2-loss team to make it even in the expanded playoff. So they're playing for a lot more than just an SEC, going up in the SEC. I do believe that this is a big playoff implication picture.
Yeah, now, Leanne, that's what I was going to bring up. The expectations, I know, probably, especially this year, considering where they were preseason ranked, Ole Miss fans got to be saying, hell yeah, we go playoffs or bust. Not none of this, we had a good team or we played hard. I think LSU fans thinking the same way, especially a lot of pressure on Coach Kelly and Coach Kiffin. When you got 12 teams in the postseason, we better be in that number.
And now in the NIL,
yeah, level, right.
You got people giving you money. So those alumni, come on, 9 wins ain't going to cut it. You got to get into the playoffs with at least 10 wins. And I do think that will be an SEC team in the playoffs that are 10-2.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody's going to get cut somewhere along the way, Leanne. I just got that feeling Texas is the only sort of team that's, undefeated right now. But I think that'll change also.
No, I agree with you there. Texas has made enough run in their schedule. With their first year season in the SEC, of course, they've gone with their way. It will be an interesting thing. I mean, look at last week. We thought last week was going to be an uneventful week because there wasn't your typical marquee matchups. But, I mean, just at Tennessee, getting upset at home in Arkansas, which is always a difficult place to play. Of course, the one that no one saw coming was Vanderbilt getting, upsetting Alabama. So, again, like you said, week to week, no opponent you can take lightly, especially down the road. And I do believe, especially with the pressures in the SEC, like you said, there's so many other intangible factors that go into the pressure in winning and these coaches. I mean, look at what's going on with Florida and Billy Napier. You almost have to reach a quota to even be able to be considered. But again, like I said, I feel like LSU also is another strong position because, you know, Kelly is 9-1 in bye weeks. In bye weeks, like I said, they can either go really well for you or they can go really bad. Like I said, just ask Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, and even Missouri. But again, at the end of the day, Kelly has a great record. So this is going to be a tough matchup. And I don't foresee this going like last season where it's going to be this crazy outlandish video game numbers. I think we're going to see a really game in the trenches. It's going to be a very low, very close and low scoring game. And again, I think defenses are going to play a very intricate role. Turnover, whoever wins the turnover battles, and also whoever can get the almost clean penalty free, which is difficult in a matchup like this. And then, of course, those third downs. And I feel like the special teams is going to come into big play because, you know, we've seen so many matchups, believe it or not. I felt like in the last 6 weeks that have come down to field goals and how field goals have played a range, you know, where coaches have opted to go for the field goal versus, you know, converting on those fourth downs or, you know, going for the extra points. So every little move matters, and especially in a matchup like this.
Leanne, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Really appreciate it. You do a great job for the Rebel Walk, and we appreciate your time and efforts.
Thank you so much.
All right, Leanne. All right. Thank you.
Leanne Herring, who covers the Ole Miss Rebels, a reporter for the Rebel Walk, also is
the only thing about winning in the trenches, director. Mike, I'm not confident in LSU's D-line. No, you're on the LSU's O-line, but, I mean, listen, if I'm an Ole Miss fan, and if Ole Miss's offensive line don't, like, whoop LSU's D-line, I'd be
surprised.
Yes.
That's an L.
Yes.
If they can't beat LSU's defensive line, and also their secondary play has been shoddy.
They can be exploited.
Cornerback and safety. And now, with all these young guys at safety, they're getting picked on, too.